Good morning, my dear brethren and sisters. Let's begin our meeting of worship and remembrance this morning with the singing of hymn number 15. Jehovah reigns. He dwells in light, girded with majesty and might. The world, created by his hands, still on its firm foundation stands. Hymn number 15. Let us now sing together hymn number 19. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in generations all, before thou hadst brought forth the mountains great or small. Hymn number 19.
Thank you.
We now ask Brother Matthew Owen to give us the word of exhortation.
Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Are we successful today? By what means do we use to measure our success? The world around us may measure success by profit gained, how much money we earn, by prosperity, what we own, our material possessions, by prestige, how high one is on the corporate or social ladder. But how does God measure success? Well, we see from Scripture that God measures success by faithfulness. Faithfulness is not a virtue appreciated much in the big wide world today. For example, we see that in more and more marriages these days, the vows of faithfulness to one another, the relationship between spouse degrade, the marriage ends in divorce and the parties move on. Also, in some business partnerships, if a better offer comes along, the bond is broken. Why should we remain faithful? Well, God wants us to be faithful or successful in what he has called us to do. He is not going to measure us based on how many years we've been baptized and attended the meeting, or how many great things we have done. These are important, but growth comes from God himself. God wants to see our faithfulness. God wants us to succeed. Paul was experiencing some difficulty with his ministry at the church in Corinth. If we go by popularity and numbers, Paul's ministry at Corinth does not seem to be very successful. People are judging him, but listen to what he tells them. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. True success is not to be measured in terms of what man can see, but in terms of what God sees. My judge, says Paul, is not man or even myself, but God. And how will God judge me? He said this in the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. In other words, the important thing for us is to be faithful. Faithful to God and the work God has entrusted to us. Notice the words Paul uses. We are servants of Christ, entrusted with the message of salvation, and given a trust. These words describe the work of a steward or a slave. It is not our culture today, but the people of Corinth understood immediately what Paul was saying. A steward was a confidential slave to whom the master entrusted his affairs. He was an administrator of the master's household, but still a slave to the master. Although he has great responsibility, he is always and in everything accountable to the master. Both he, the slave, and his work belongs to the master. It is an apt description of you and me. We are redeemed of the Lord. We belong to him. He is our Lord and Master, for he redeemed us by his blood, and this life comes from him. And he has given us all a trust or work. The most basic one is the Great Commission to share the gospel. All of us have a different calling. Some to preach, some teachers, some as listeners and background support. But whatever it is God's work, and we are his servants. The Apostle Paul is helping the church in Corinth understand that a growing relationship with Christ is focused on living out his message, which leads us to greater service. The fundamental issue in 1 Corinthians is the salvation in Christ, is that salvation in Christ is to be manifested in a believer's behavior. The Corinthians were destroying their church because they had a misunderstanding of what it meant to be a spiritual Christian. The first major problem was division in the church over their favorite leader. It wasn't the quarrel that was the big problem of the church. The problem was that the division was rooted in false theology or doctrine. Genuine Christian servanthood is expressed in sacrificial and exemplary living. Paul reminded them that the central focus of the church was Christ and the message of the gospel. They focus on the particular gifts and personalities of the Christian leaders. It was a subtle way of exalting self. I am a follower of Paul. He is so intellectual, implying I'm intellectual. I'm a follower of Peter. He is so passionate for Christ. I'm a follower of Apollos. He is so sophisticated and polished in his presentation. I'm a follower of Christ because I am so spiritual. Paul corrects them. Our life and our church are not about us, but about Christ. In chapter 4, Paul says he and the other teachers are servants of God. This is the essential element of a servant of God. If the church understood the true nature of Christian leadership, they would have had a greater appreciation of these teachers and been even more willing to follow their example. So what are the essential characteristics of a Christian leader? Fathers and mothers, preachers and teachers, role models to children and youth are all in the place of being a Christian leader. What are the essential characteristics of Christian leaders?